She sung that song because one of the things I want to talk about this morning is praying for our friends. Has somebody ever asked you to pray for them, or somebody ever asked you about praying for others and you go, I just don't know how? Yeah, I think one of the frustrations that I see too often is you know, I ask somebody to pray and it's like, well, I don't know what to pray. You know, I don't know how to pray. And so as I prepared this series on 60-60, one of my objectives and one of the things I felt I needed to look at and I wanted us to look at is, how do you do it? You know, what do I say? You know, often we ask somebody, you know, you want to lead it in prayer publicly, you know, at your home group, you know, you're sitting there at Bible study and it's like, okay, whose turn it is to pray? And nobody volunteers. Anybody been in those home groups like that? You know, they just, you know, it's like, I don't, you know, everybody's just timid about praying. Well, I want to deal with that this morning. You know, prayer is not these extravagant words. It's not the, you know, special secret signs and words and terms and flowery words or special expressions. I want to get down to really what is praying and how do I do it? And so this morning, my objective is just real simple. I want to just go through, here's what you can pray. Just, I'm going to flat out tell you how to pray. I'm going to make it as simple as I can. And so I want to drive that home this morning, because here's what I want you to know. It is not about your words. It's not about your words. That's not what prayer is about. I want you to look at the scripture right here. Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. What does that verse imply? What's that verse saying? It's saying, before you even utter a word out of your mouth, God knows what's on your heart and mind. Before you speak, before you bow your head, if you bow your head, fold your hands, before any of that happens, God knows your heart and mind. So here's really what prayer is. Prayer is not about words. Prayer is about opening our heart up and our mind up to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is simply saying, God, here's my heart and what's on my heart. God, this is what's flashing across, the burdens, the thoughts, the questions, the aches, the pains, the troubles, the struggles. Whether they're my life or someone else's life, Lord, these are the things that are weighing me down. And you don't have to utter a word in order to pray. But I want to tell you something, just kind of a quick sideline right now. I want to encourage you to pray out loud. You know, see, people say, well, you know, I start praying and my mind begins to wander. Anybody? You know, you'll start praying and maybe it's bedtime or maybe something, and your mind begins to drift over here and you start thinking about all the things you got to do that day. Or maybe it's nighttime and you're thinking about all the bad things that happened that day and your mind wanders. You know, if you pray out loud, that'll do away with that. You know, if you start praying out loud, your mind is thinking about the words and it makes a difference. So you do need to pray out loud. But prayer is really simple and yet it's hard because it's really saying, God, here's my heart. And that's hard to do sometimes. It's been an hour since I last prayed. Okay, so how you guys doing, huh? You guys doing all right with that? We're almost near the end. But this morning, we're going to look at really how to do it. So I'm going to drive home, and I'm going to give you some ideas. I'm going to lay out some ways. How do you pray? And I want to begin with this verse right here. And we're going to beat this verse up 3 or 4 times today. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You seek God and you pray and your prayers are powerful. Pray for yourself and you pray for others. That's what I see that verse saying. Pray. Spend time praying. So how do you do it? So if you look at your outline, I'm going to begin with this. I pray for myself. All right? Right off the bat, I don't know about you. I know about me. I need prayer. And I'm going to pray for myself. Now, that is not self. Some people think, well, when you're praying for yourself, you're selfish. No. all right? I need strength. I need wisdom. I need encouragement. Anybody in that boat as you live through life? You know, we need those things. And you can pray those things. Pray about that. It's not about being selfish. Look at the scripture here. And it's, you know, the disciples were asking Jesus, and this is known as the Lord's Prayer. But I want to, again, I said this last week and I looked at the prayer. I want to say it again this week. This is really not the Lord's Prayer. This is a model prayer. If you want the Lord's Prayer, go to John 17. This is a model that Jesus gave us. Look at what it says. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I almost want to quote the King James. I've memorized this. This is good to memorize. All right? But in this prayer, Jesus gave us kind of an outline of praying. I put it right here for you because I wanted you to see it. When you pray for yourself, when you're praying by yourself, when you're praying for your needs and your situation, here's the thing. I made an acrostic. I learned it when I was a young Christian. It's called ACTS, A-C-T-S. And this prayer models it for us. And so you're going to see the first A is an A, and that stands for adoration. I'm going to give you some biblical words. Adoration means praise, bless. Hallowed be thy name, our Father in heaven. He's praising God. He's blessing God. When you begin your prayers, give God praise. Has he blessed you? Has he done things in your midst? Honor God in your prayers. Now, you'd have to do this. Let me make a little side note again. I have a lot of little side notes today. Every prayer doesn't have to have everything in it, okay? Every prayer doesn't need to have all four of these things in it. It may be just one of these is on your heart and on your mind. You know, Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you, Sunday morning, one of the biggest things for me is adoration when I'm praying. I'm just feeling, God, this is a great day. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just praising God Sunday morning. You know, that's just where I'm at on Sunday morning. Now, Monday morning, it's going to be something else. We'll get down there in a minute. But Sunday morning, it's just, God, this is your day, and I'm excited, and thank you, and we're here to have a great time. And adoration is really one of the big prayers for me on Sunday morning. So in your prayers, give God glory. Praise God's name. Bless his name. C stands for confession. Confession is real simple. Confession is agreeing with God. Basically, we need to agree with God that I have a problem. You notice what I said. I don't need to agree with God that he has a problem. He don't have a problem. Well, he does. He has me. That makes him have a problem, all right? But reality, God doesn't have a problem. I'm the one. So confession is a time for me to agree with God that I got some issues in my life, all right? And I need to confess that. I'm going to tell you what they are. It's real quick. It's called sin. It was called sin. This week I had a trip somewhere, and I want to ask somebody, but I didn't do that yet. But we had a trip, and they offered to let us use their car and ride with them, but they didn't offer to let me drive. I'm going, have I talked too much about my driving skills that they don't trust me? You know, I don't know. I was going to ask. I'll give them a bad time later about that. You know, it was fun. But, you know, we do have to confess. You know, and like I say, you know, we need to agree with God. In your prayers, agree with God. Agree with God. Whatever the trouble is, whatever the struggle is, whatever is burdening you down, admit it to God. God, I have trouble when I get behind the steering wheel of a car and the moronic drivers get around me. You know, I got to word it differently, but that's what I think. You know, confess that. You need to tell God. In your prayers. Father, forgive me for I've sinned. Confess your sins and he'll forgive you. See, that goes back to that forgiveness aspect of it. All right? T stands for thanksgiving. This is why it's good to make a list of your prayers. So you can go back and give him thanks for what he's answered. I don't know about you, but I know I've asked God for things that I forgot I've asked him. Anybody? I've asked God to bless this and to do this and to do that, and it happens, and I forget I even ask him. And so it's good to write your prayers down so you can give God thanks. And the last one on the list, again, it's kind of a confusing word, supplication. A word I'm sure you use every day in your conversations, right? Supplications mean you ask God, what are your needs? God, I have daily bread needs. God, I have financial needs. God, I have work needs. God, I have health needs. You know, that's supplication. You're asking God for your needs. So I think this makes a good acrostic when you pray. When you pray for yourself, praise God, adoration. When you pray for yourself, agree with God and confess. When you pray for yourself, give God thanks. When you pray for yourself, bring your petitions, your supplications, your requests to God. Another verse, you might want to write a little note somewhere in here. Matthew 7, 7. Great verse, 7 and 8 as a matter of fact. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened. And it goes on. You want your prayers answered, you just got to ask. See, we need to pray for ourselves. And I want to give you permission to pray for yourself. It's not selfish, but it's something we need to do. We have needs. We have struggles. We have battles. And we need to go to God with those needs. And so pray for yourself. But I want you to notice something else. I want you to look back at that prayer. It's not going to be on the screen. It's in your paper there. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, if you want to look in your Bible. There was an interesting thing I noticed about that prayer. It says, here's how you can pray. And he's praying for himself. But you notice those personal pronouns are plural. He didn't say, I. He said, we have needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Our, it's plural. In our prayers, we need to pray for ourselves, but we shouldn't stop by simply praying for just us. We need to pray for others. We need to bring others into God's presence. That's what that song was about we just heard. We need to share with others the burden that God has laid on our heart for them. The scripture says where two or three agree, there's great answers to those prayers. God says where two or three meet, I'm in the midst. There's those confidence we have, and we need to pray for others. So as you look at your outline, there's a great big biblical word. It's called intercessory. Not a biblical word, but it is in the Bible. Intercessory. An intercessory prayer is praying for others. Is that complicated? Intercessor means you intercede. You stand between and you pray for others. I want you to look at the scripture. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. I want you to notice something. That's a command, not an option. God didn't say, when you feel like it, pray for one another. God didn't say, when you get all your prayers answered, then you can go start praying for somebody else. We need to pray for each other. We need to be lifting each other up in our prayers. And so I want to drive this on, but here's the problem. What do we pray and how do we pray it? What are some things I can pray? What should I be praying for? How do I pray for that? And so I'm going to really drive this home. And so this morning, what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you exactly, like I gave you that adoration, Acts. I'm going to give you things about how to pray for others. We're going to talk about praying, just praying for others in general. I'm going to talk about how do you pray for your marriage? How do you pray for your husband? How do you pray for your wife? How do you pray for your children? How do you pray for those who aren't married yet? How do you pray for your future spouse? I want to talk about all those things. I'm going to give you outlines of how to do it. I want you to walk out of here. Matter of fact, there's some papers back there you can pick up. I'm going to share it with you that you can pick up that will tell you exactly what you can pray for. Just to give you some ideas. Not that that's the only thing, but I want you to have some ideas. I don't want anybody to say, well, I don't know how to pray for that. Well, you're going to walk out of here. You're going to know how. So let's begin by looking at praying for others. And I want you to think about praying for others for a minute. We need to pray for others. Look at the scripture. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, there's that word, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all the goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He's saying, I want you to pray for others. I want you to intercede. I want you to stand in the middle. I want you to be there in the midst and praying for others. We need to pray for others. And I just want to challenge you to pray. People ask me to pray for them all the time. I ask you guys to fill that blue card out at the end of the service. And you need to know, I read those cards 2, 3, 4 times. It just depends how many times when I'm sitting there at my desk, they sit beside my desk all week. And I'll turn to those cards and I'll go through those cards 2, 3, 4 times a week. Just saying, God, here's this need. God, here's this need. And I'll read through those cards that you guys fill out and pray for you. And some of you don't put anything on the back, I just pray for you. If you don't have a need, you're going to get one sooner or later. All right? And so I pray. We need to pray for others. When somebody comes up and says, pray for me, you need to say yes. And how can I pray for you? I put 3 things down here. I found this week. I thought this was neat, and I wanted to share these with you. I found 3 things that are very good. I need to pray God's protection on others. Ask God to protect them. This is just generally anybody, everyone. This includes our president. This includes government leaders. This includes business people at work, your boss. This includes everybody. Pray for God's protection. Pray for God's protection. Pray for God's provision. Pray that God will provide for their needs, provide them wisdom. What do they need? Do they need more knowledge? You got a boss that needs some knowledge? I know some people that have bosses that need knowledge. Pray for their provision. Ask God to meet their needs. And then finally, pray for God's favor. See, we can pray these for anybody. Am I right? You can pray these for just about anybody. And so when somebody says pray, here's some ideas that you can pray for. And I want to tell you something. This is the greatest evangelistic tool we have. You know, a lot of people, you go up and start talking to them about Jesus, they're going to turn you off, aren't they? They're going to tune you out. But when you walk up to somebody and say, you know what, I just want to pray for you. What can I pray for you about? Guess what they're going to do? They're going to tell you something. I've never forgot this occasion when I was pastoring in Willits. I was knocking on doors in town, and I knocked on this door, and this guy answers the door, and he goes, I tell him why I'm there, and I'm just visiting, inviting people to church. He goes, I'm not interested. I don't go to church. I don't want to go to church, and I'm just not interested. But he steps out the door, closes the door behind him, and he says, I need some prayer. He's talking about some struggles he was having within his family. That was an opportunity for me. I could have said, well, you don't want to go to church. That's for you. Good luck. You know. But no, I prayed with that man right there, right then. Prayer is a great evangelistic tool. Pray for God's protection. Pray for God's provision. Pray for God's favor on others. Bring those before God and pray for others. But I added another verse because here's the challenge. It said everyone, and I want to make sure you understand who everyone is. Look what it says about everyone. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Yeah. This week, I had some challenging experiences. And I had some very challenging attacks on my integrity and all sorts of stuff. You know what my prayer really wanted to be? You know? Everybody move away, back away. You don't want to get hit by the lightning when it comes, you know? I want to make sure God gets the target right. That's not what it says, all right? We need to pray for those who don't know. You know, my greatest frustration is misinformation, gossip, and rumors. Am I right? We need to pray because most people wouldn't be our enemies if they really understood, would they? If they really understood the truth and if they really understood what was happening, they wouldn't be our enemies. It would just be misinformation. We need to pray for our enemies. So I want to make sure I put that one in here. When it says everybody, God means everybody. Isn't it? You know, no exceptions, no exclusions, everybody. So we need to pray for others. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to kind of transition and I'm going to get real specific now. I'm going to talk about how do you pray for your marriage first. And then we're going to go through some others. But I want to tell you, we need to pray for our marriages. Marriage is under attack by Satan. We need to see that. Even within the church, the statistics, and you can make statistics say just about anything you want, but statistics say marriage, divorce in the church is just as bad as it is in the world, that 50% of marriages end in divorce. Now, I can tell you that the statistic is a little misleading because it doesn't take into account those who have been divorced 3, 4, or 5 times. I think it's really something like 60%, 65% of marriages end in divorce. But once you've been divorced once, it really goes skyrocketing from there. And I give you a little hint here. This is, like I say, numbers can say anything. I found an interesting statistic. 1% of marriages fail that never pray together. That, you know, if you pray with your spouse, you got a 99% success rate of staying married. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? If you pray with your spouse, you got a 99%. But marriage is tough. I like this verse. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one. That last part, that's tough. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't want to be one. I want to be the one, all right? You know what I'm saying now? Marriage is tough. Marriage is not an easy thing. We are by nature, at least I'm going to say this for myself, and most of the people I know, all right, are selfish. We want our way, when we want it, how we want it, and as a matter of fact, I know exactly what you need. If you just listen to me, it would be much better off. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth here. Marriage is tough. It's hard. It's a challenge. And Satan is attacking it. I mean, it's all over the place. He's not just attacking male and female with a homosexual issue that we face in our country. He's attacking the basis of our society and just marriage itself. And it's a battle. And I'm going to tell you, the battle and the resource you need to sustain a marriage is prayer. We need to pray. We need to spend time praying about our marriage. We need to spend time praying together about our marriage. And it will change that stuff. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Pray about your marriage. Pray for love that it will grow and nurture. Pray that faithfulness and truthfulness and trust will flourish in that marriage. Pray for your marriage. You know, I think we're so much quicker and so much easier to trash talk, to put down, and to judge our marriage than we are to pray for it. And so as you go out of here on that back table back there, I put a table out there. There's 8 papers. One of those papers is how to pray for your marriage. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, I think most of those papers out there have 30 to 31 ideas. Some of them have 30 to 31 prayers. You can just literally just read it and pray it. There's scripture on it and everything. Because I want you to go home and pray for your marriage. Just pick it up, take it home. You can pray one a day. You can pray the whole thing right now, whatever you want to do. But I wanted to give you something in your hand. When somebody says, are you praying for your marriage? I'm like, well, what am I going to pray for? I can't name all 31 right off the top of my head. And it's okay to read a paper in your prayers, okay? It's okay to go down there and say, I want to pray for this one today. Pray for your marriage. Spend time praying. Pray together for your marriage. I'm going to tell you, this is hard. Not only is marriage tough, but it's hard to pray with your spouse. I know that one. But you got to pray. Pray for your spouse. But I want to take it a step further. Not just pray for your marriage. I do want to talk about praying for your spouse. And I'm going to start with the one I need to start with, all right? I'm going to start with men. I'm going to say, men, man up. All right? Men, we need to pray for our wives. I'm serious. Men need to get on their knees and pray for their wives. We'll talk about, oh, my nagging wife. I hope you never say that, all right? Oh, my wife, she, oh, my wife, you know, we say all that kind of stuff. I'm going to say, how often have you prayed for your wife? Literally, prayed. I'm going to tell you something. A good wife, the Bible is full of this, and I think any of us men who really know our wives and love our wives will say this. A wife, according to God's word, is more precious than a ruby. A wife of noble character is hard to find. This is what the Bible says, and I think it's true. We need to pray for our wives. Men, we need to man up and pray for our wives. I'm not talking about being a wuss, okay? Oh, men, we're just trying to suppress men, and you know, you just got to be more tender-hearted and more, yeah, you need to be all that, but you need to man up, because look what the Scripture says. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now, don't get all upset. God has an order in the family. Like it or not, agree with it or not, don't blame me. God says the man is the head of the house. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's not Hitler, okay? If your man is Hitler, he's got a problem. All right? That's not what it says. Because I want to read on. Now, look at what it says. It says the man is the head of the house. The man fights the protection. He's the security. He's the strength. He's the one. I'm going to tell you, if a marriage fails, I'm going to say this, and you might not like it, but if a marriage fails, I'm going to put the blame on the man. All right? He needs to man up and be the man and lead in his family. His body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives submit to your husband. Don't get all confused, okay? To her husbands and everything. Husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What he's saying is, you lead in the family by giving yourself up. Is that what it says? But you lead. Jesus died for his church. We need to die for our wives. I need to die to myself for my wife. Does that make sense? I think that's a real man. Not sitting there dominating, come home, sit on the couch, and bring my tea and fetch my shoes. That's why God gave us kids. No, don't do that either. Don't do that one either, all right? Don't do that one either. Yeah? But we need to pray for our wives. And I think, men, it's okay to get on your knees and pray for your wife. I could not and would not be here today. I wouldn't be who I am today if it was not for my wife, if it wasn't for Laura. It's just a simple fact. It's the truth. Now, is it always that way? Am I always happy that way? Uh-uh. Yeah. Does Laura push my buttons sometimes? Uh-huh. Do I push back? Nah. But men, I'm going to tell you, pray for your wife. Get on your knees and pray for your wife. If there's something you don't like, pray about it. Don't tell her about it. Pray about it. Because I'm going to tell you something. God can change people. He changed me. We need to pray for our wives. Pray for God's protection for her. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for her understanding when you're a jerk. Pray for her compassion. Pray for her patience raising your children. That's patience required. Pray for her physically and her health. Pray for your wife. On the back table is a paper that's how to pray for your wife. I think there's 30 or 31. I can't remember how many is on each of them, but there's 30 or 31 ways to pray for your wife. Pick it up and pray for your wife. Pray for her. But wives, I'm not going to stop there. You need to pray for your husband, even when he's a jerk, all right? You need to pray for your husband. I'm going to tell you something. Satan's greatest attack is attack on the family, and he goes with after the family when he goes after the husband. Because if he can take the husband down, he takes the family down. All right? You need to pray for your husband. Yeah, he can be a jerk, and sometimes I am. I mean, I'm going to tell you that. Laura would sit here and say, uh-huh, and she'd be shaking her head the whole time. Yeah. I can be a pain. Yeah. I come in late, I'm tired, I'm frustrated, it's been a bad day, and but I tell you, I walked in this week with some challenging things I have, and my wife says, I was praying for you. You know how encouraging that is? You know, that she knew I had a trying day, I had some trying stuff going on, and she knew what was going on, and I walk into the house at 10:30, 11 o'clock that night, and she goes, I've been praying for you, because she knew what the day was going to be like. Pray for your husband. Take time to pray for your husband. I'm not going to tell you to get on your knees. Women, it's probably easier for women to get on their knees than men. And you know, I don't know, maybe guys, I don't know. Women are just more humble than guys. Her husband trusts her completely. And with her, he has everything he needs. She does him good and not harm for as long as she lives. And one of the things you can do good for your husband is pray. Satan has planted a target on the men's lives today. I really believe that. I think you look around and you look what Satan has. I think pornography is a tool of Satan to attack men and their families. All right? I think men, I'm going to tell you, and ladies, I'll tell you, this is something I think you got to be careful of, and I think you need to be aware of. And I'm going to preach on this pretty soon. You know those social networking things out there called Facebook and text messaging and instant messaging and all that social networking stuff? I think that can be. I think that is a great tool that Satan can use to destroy families. Yeah. You start talking to someone here, and you start saying things here. You know, we'll say things on there we would never say to somebody's face, and all of a sudden it starts destroying the family. You need to stop that kind of stuff. Now, that, you can play your games on there. I know that Farmville stuff, and everybody asked me to join their Farmville. I need some plants, or I need, you know. Mafia wars, you know, I get all that kind of stuff. That's kind of fun stuff. But you got to be careful with that stuff because I think you're playing with fire sometimes. Okay? Instead of playing that game, why don't you pray? Does that make sense? Pray for God to protect his heart. Pray that he'll have godly desires. I mean, the world out there throws all sorts of desires at men. You know, men are visual animals. And I mean, you know, the news and the TV shows and the internet. And pray that God protects his eyes. I found it interesting. I didn't put it out here. Again, there's going to be a, you go out on that table out there, there's a paper that says 31 or 30 ways to pray for your husband. It's out there on that table. Pick it up, pray about it. There's one I didn't print. I should have printed. I thought about it after I got all these together. I spent all week, you know, doing this kind of stuff, searching the internet. There was one there that had to pray for your husband's physique. It said how to pray for their hands and then for the wife too. Hands, feet, eyes, mind. I might bring that one another day because it was really neat to look at that one, but I just had this one. And so, but pray. I think the biggest one is pray for your husband's protection because Satan will go after him because if he can destroy him and bring him down, he's going to bring you down in your family. Pray for that protection of that husband, that God will honor that. Men, I'm going to tell you, men, we can be a jerk, and I know I can. I come in, and something just isn't the way I wanted it, and I'm frustrated, and I'm tired, and it's been a bad day. And the words out of my mouth is, why didn't you have this? Yeah. If I run out of tea, I like sweet tea, all right? There is a gallon jug of sweet tea in my refrigerator almost all the time. And if I come in and there's no tea, it's like, where's my tea? You know, I didn't know it was empty. Well, you're supposed to know. Yeah? Because she won't let me boil tea. You need to know that. She will not let me boil tea. Why are you guys laughing? She won't let me boil tea because I boiled the water out 3 times already. So I don't know if I did that on purpose. So now I just say, I need tea. And she'll go in there and put it on for me. Because you don't trust me with boiling water. That's pretty bad, I guess, isn't it? But, you know, we all have those little things. Now, you guys are laughing because you know your husband or your wife, she has that thing that, you know, they just expect. Yeah. Pray. Pray for your marriage. Pray specifically for your wife. Pray for your husband. See, I can't pray for your husbands, but, you know, but pray for your husband. Pray for your husband. And spend time praying for your husband. Let's see, where am I out of my outline here? I'm lost. Okay, let's see. Oh, I'm down already here. Let's pray for our children now. Let's move on. Pray for our children. This is one I have practiced from the time I had children. I want to encourage you this way. If you don't have any children now, start now praying for your children, all right? Don't wait till you get them, okay? It's too late then. Pray for your children, whether you got them now or not. Pray for your children. One of the things I pray diligently about throughout the life of my children and the lives that they're living now, and I pray for them now, was their spouses. Right off the top, that's one thing that was a burden for me, as I prayed that God will bring the right person into their life and that God will minister in their life. We need to pray for our children. Satan is after our children. I mean, I sat there and I late at night, I'll come in, I get in 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I got to take some downtime. Anybody needs, debriefing time, whatever you want to call it, I just got to have some come down time. And I'll turn the TV on. I'm going to tell you, you know what kind of trash is on at 11 o'clock at night? What's this, The Girls Next Door? If you don't know what that is, that's Hugh Hefner's house. That's Hugh Hefner. And The Girls Next Door, or True Life. These kids moving in together and sharing rent and sharing the bed and everything else. I cannot believe all this trash. And I like cop shows. I enjoy cop shows. And you turn on, now they got this campus PD and these parties these kids are having, and it's like, Satan is targeting our children, and we need to put a wall of protection around them, and that comes through prayer. We need to pray for our children, their protection, their future spouse. We need to pray for our children. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for him. Let me tell you the story here. Hannah, this is the story of Hannah and Samuel. Samuel's her son. Hannah wanted a child, and she was childless. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she went to church. It was the temple at that time. And she would pray and she would pray for this child. And she told God, if you ever give me a child, God, I'll give him back to you. And he'll be yours. And so she finally had a child. And this is her prayer. This is what she comes back to. And I prayed and you gave me this child. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Here's what I want to challenge you to do, to give your child to God. In your prayers, give your child to God. I'm going to tell you something. Your children grow up, and I got news for you. You have no control. You might think you do when they're kids. At least sometimes you do when they're kids. But one day, they're going to grow up, and you're going to have no control. None. That's scary. That's frightening. You know what that should do? It should drive you to prayer because you can't do anything. But I know somebody who can. I can tell you stories of things I prayed for and my kids don't even know that God took care of. And they thought it was an accident. And I'm going, I ain't telling them nothing. Because when you know God and you pray for your kids, God does things, folks. Pray for your children. Pray for their protection. Pray, I'm going to tell you, pray for their purity. I'm serious. Pray for their wisdom. Pray about their friends. Pray for your children. And again, I think we all think about it, but we don't do it. Because we really don't know what. I don't know. On the back table, pick up a paper. How to pray for your children. I think there's 30 or 31 ideas on there to pray for your children. If you don't have any kids, still pick one up. Because you're going to have kids someday, more than likely. And start praying now for your children. I pray for my grandchildren. I lift them up and pray for them and their protection. Pray for your children. Take them and give them back to God. You have no control. You think you do, but you wait. They get older, and I don't know about you, but you see what your kid's doing now, and you're going, oh, man, what are they doing now? Anybody? As your kids grow up, you want to beat yourself in the head. Where'd I go wrong? Anybody? Yeah. Pray for your children. You look at your outline. I'm going to close with this one. I could go on and on. We need to pray for our government. I'm going to tell you, pray for our president. I don't care if you agree with him or not, all right? I'm not going to go there. That's not my point this morning. But we need to pray for our president. We need to pray for the state of California. We're in a mess, all right? We need to pray. We need to pray for our schools. I can just go on and on, and I don't have all those kind of outlines out there, but we need to pray for all these government and schools. We need to pray for our church. We're getting ready to build our building, and I'm going to tell you something. Satan is alive and real, and we said this when we started the project, that one of the times that Satan attacks the church is during a building program. Don't think Satan's going to take a break when we're all, we got our permit, and God's moving, and we're excited. I'm going to tell you, Satan's right there just trying to sneak in. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our church leaders. Now, that one I do have out there. How do you pray for your church and church leaders? There's a paper out there. It's not very long. That one doesn't have a whole lot on it. But how do you pray? You got Sunday school leaders. You got other leaders in the church doing the finance. You got all sorts of things. There's a paper out there that tells you how to pray for your church. There's a paper out there that tells you how to pray for your pastor. I need your prayers. I mean, I'm going to tell you, right now I've been beat up pretty good the last couple of weeks, and it's not going well for me. But I got somebody on my side that's bigger than me. And I know many of you pray for me daily, and I appreciate that. But there's a paper out there on how to pray for me. There's a paper out there. I'm going to ask you to do something else. I'm going to tell you, here's the two most difficult jobs in the church, all right? These are the two most difficult jobs in the church. And it's not the pastor, all right? That's my job, you know? The pastor's wife has a tough job, all right? I love my wife dearly, and she puts up with a lot from me. Being the pastor's wife, she hears the story. She's got to confront the things, and whatever I want to throw on her, I throw on her. And it's like, well, nobody else would do it, so guess what, Laura? Yeah. That's, to me, the hardest job in a church is a pastor's wife. And there's a paper out there to pray for my wife, and I appreciate you doing that. I would really do that. Second hardest job in the church, and this is just everything I've seen over the years I've ministered and over the struggles I've seen, it's the youth worker. It's the leader of the youth. I'm going to tell you, you need to pray for Crystal. She does a great job for our church. But that youth worker, you know, she's dealing with, because you know when you're dealing with the youth, you got parents who want to do their kids one way, and you got kids who know better than their parents. And that's hard to be a youth worker. I think that's the second hardest job in the church. That's just my evaluation. Being the pastor is the funnest job in the church. And yeah, it's a heartache and a headache, but you know. So pray for those. And there's some papers out there for some of that stuff and church leaders and all of that. I just encourage you to pick those up. But the last one I wanted to talk about is this. Some here aren't married yet. Some of us have kids, you know, grandkids. And you need to know I'm praying for the spouses of my grandkids. Because I want to make sure they get a spouse who loves God. I told my kids when they bring their spouses to me and say, or fiancés, they want to get married. Here's my only request. I said, you know, you're in love. That's what you want to do. Here's my only request. I want my grandkids raised in church. That's what I tell them. I told every one of them, whether it was Donald or Tommy or Tessa, I told them, every one of them, I want my grandkids raised in church. I want them to grow up knowing God loves them and God cares for them. And that's my prayer. But we need to pray for those spouses of our children. And I want to encourage you, if you're not married yet, start praying for that one you're going to marry. Start praying now for the person you're going to marry. I've shared my story over and over with you guys. I don't want to go over it again, but I told you I broke up with my last girlfriend. And when I did that, I realized this is not fun. I'm going to tell you, dating is not fun, all right? Some of you listen to me now. Dating is not fun. It hurts. Dating hurts. You know, I like this no dating thing that we talk about nowadays. Dating hurts. Pray about who God wants you to marry. Pray about who God would bring into your life and start watching for that person. You know why you wait? Because everybody's going to get married. More than likely. There's very few called to celibacy. Look at the scripture again. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one. More than likely, we're going to get married. More than likely, you're going to get married. But while you wait, don't waste the time. Pray. Pray that God will guard that person you're going to marry, guard their purity, and guard their heart, and guard their mind. That Satan will be bound from them. Pray for their desires. Pray for their dreams. Pray for that one that God is laying out before you that you're going to marry. Do you get the picture? I mean, we need to pray about those future spouses for our children. And if you're not married yet, you need to pray about who is it God is bringing into my life. There's a paper out there. Again, I put a paper out there. It doesn't quite say praying. I can't remember what it says at the top, but it's really about praying for who you're going to marry. And I want to encourage you, pray about that. Pray about that. You know, that I think as I look at my life and I think about who I am and Laura and I coming together and all of that, it's when I realized I didn't want to do this dating thing. I didn't want to deal with this garbage of dating, breaking up and getting together and hooking up and all that kind of stuff. It was no fun. It hurt. And I prayed and God brought Laura into my life. I mean, I've shared that story. I walk into this hospital room and Laura's laying in bed. She had another broken nose. She broke her nose 7 times before she was 13 years old. And this is burned into my mind. This is burned into my mind. I can tell you this without a question in my heart. That I walk into that room and I see Laura laying in that bed. And she was just one of the kids in the youth group. Got 2 black eyes, bandaged nosed all up. And it's just like, I want to marry her. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But that is the truth. I walk in there. I had been praying, God, this dating thing I don't like. I was done with that. I was done with that. And I walk in this hospital room. And here's the bad thing you guys need to know. I'm 17 years old and Laura's 13. All right? And so we didn't start hooking up because they take that wrong nowadays. We didn't start liking one another. I don't know what terms I want to use. You know, we didn't start pursuing one another until she was 14, okay? So I was 18. But there was no doubt in our mind, and we talked about this. We talked about this, that we didn't want to date one another. We didn't want to go out together. We didn't want to hang around one another if this isn't what God wanted. And we talked about that. It wasn't just, well, Gary's idea. No, we talked about that. Because one of the conversations boiled down to at a point in our relationship where I felt called to be a pastor, and she was talking about being a missionary. And we spent several hours discussing what is God really calling us to do. Because if I'm called to be a pastor, I'm not called to be a missionary. That wasn't what I was called to do. And she went and talked to the pastor. And visiting with the pastor, the pastor shared with her that, you know what? Being called to be a pastor's wife is being on mission. And he shared that with Laura. And so we continued to see each other. And we never dated. You need to know, we never went out by ourselves until she was over 16. Yeah. You like that, right? And we really didn't. We always went out with the youth group. That was the best time to go out. I can tell you some of the great, stupid things we did. But we had a great time. You need to pray about your future spouse, okay? If you're here and you're single, don't wait and see. Don't play games. I'm going to tell you, don't date. I'm just going to tell you, don't do this dating thing. You know, you get nervous because it's like everybody else is pairing up. We're going on this youth outing and everybody's seeing whenever we're going to a school dance and everybody's got their boyfriends and their girlfriends and their best friends and all that. Don't worry about all that. Pray for who God wants you to be with. Because you're going to be with them the rest of your life. And I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't want to be with anybody else but Laura the rest of my life. We've had some scary things going on. You know, they thought Laura had cancer at one time, and we've had all these things going on. And that just scares me because I think about, I want to spend the rest of my life with her. And I'm looking forward to retirement and working at Disneyland together. You need to know that. I mean, I am so excited about, if that's what God wants, that's what I'm looking forward to. And so I want to challenge you. Will you pray for your spouse? Will you pray for your future spouse? Will you pray for your children? Will you pray for your marriage? Will you pray for your wife? Will you pray for your husband? Will you pray for others? Will you pray for yourself? Will you pray? I tried to make this as easy as I could, and I really do. I feel sometimes we want to pray, but we don't know how. I feel sometimes you've wanted to sit there and say, I need to pray for this, but you just didn't know what words to use. It's great. The scripture says when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit helps. And I want to help too. On that back table, there are some papers. Pick them up. If I need more, I'll bring more next week. There's 8 different sheets out there. Pick up what you want, but pray. If you look at the bottom of the page, let me look at this next scripture again. I want to come back to this. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Not an option. Not here's a suggestion. You might find this useful. Pray for one another. That's what he says. Pray for one another. Pray. So at the bottom of your page, I put it this way. I will pray for who you're going to pray for. I wanted you to put that. You know, if you want to pray for yourself, circle myself. All right? If you're willing to pray for yourself, circle yourself. You need to pray for others. Maybe you need to put some. I left you a place to put somebody's name in there. Maybe there's somebody's name you need to write down. Maybe it's an enemy you need to write down. I got some enemies I could give you to write down if you want. I got a list of them for me right now. But pray for others. Pray for your marriage. If you're willing to, circle it. Husbands, will you pray for your wife? I give you, you know, you can't circle both, so you got to pick one of them. Your children, your future spouse. I want to challenge, will you pray? Just pray. It's not fancy words. It's opening your heart up to God. You don't have to utter a word, but I encourage you to pray out loud. I encourage you to read it. I encourage you to write them down. And God will bless you. And God will bless others through you when you pray. Let's pray now.